I do forgive and let go of things really fast. And that's so important in a marriage, because if you don't let go of it, the longer you hang on to it, the bigger it's going to seem to you.
Hey friends, welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life. Today, we continue our discussion on marriage and relationships with Joyce and our very special guest, Dave Meyer. You see, we all sat down with Jay and Aaron Cluley on a recent Talk It Out podcast focusing on the keys to marriage and great relationships, whether you're married or not. Dave and Joyce have learned a lot in their over 50 years together. And as we said, we shared it on the Talk It Out podcast, and Joyce said, I really want to share this on Enjoying Everyday Life. So here's more encouragement on how to make our relationships great. Let's talk it out.
I really want to convey the message to people to stop looking for reasons to get a divorce and start looking for reasons to stay together.
Yeah.
You know, don't think about the good things and not just the bad things. I actually remember one time, God put this on my heart. I was mad at Dave about something, and
you're kidding.
you never knew that, did you?
She hit it so well.
I took out a piece of paper and I made a list of everything that I didn't like about Dave, and then I made a list of everything that I did like about him. And, you know, the amazing thing was the list of things I liked was so much longer than the list of things that I didn't like.
Yeah.
But we tend to focus on the few things that we don't like.
Did that surprise you when you saw the
list? Yeah, it did. It did. Yeah. It did. Because I had only focused on, well, he's not this and he's not this, or he is this and he is that. And I think that's one of the reasons why we are still married, is because Dave has always been a real positive person. And he is easygoing. You know, he's not quick to get angry. And I think that he looked at the good parts more than he looked at the bad parts. Yeah, and I don't know of anybody that could stay married if all you do is look at what's wrong with the other person all the time.
Yeah.
Because what you focus on becomes magnified. Yeah. It becomes bigger than what it really actually is in your life.
You know, you can in any relationship, it's not going to be perfect.
Right. Yeah.
Doesn't matter what relationship it is. It's not going to be perfect. And it's amazing how people come into marriage and think it's going to be a perfect relationship.
Sure.
You know, and
that's
so they get out of
marriage. All our movies look like that.
They get out of marriage because it's not a perfect relationship.
Yeah.
Yet they'll have a relationship with somebody else where it's not a perfect relationship and continue that relationship.
Yeah.
So it's really the devil. He gets in there and he starts working on things and starts to really get you in an area. You know, one of the things I'd like to talk about here was Joyce, when we got in a heated discussion.
Oh, Joyce.
She would remember things from years ago. And I said, where do you put all this stuff? How do you? I'd forget it. After we had a discussion, I'd forget
it.
The next day, I'd forget it. And I'd say, You must have a computer for a brain. How do you keep all that stuff and remember all that stuff? I said, I couldn't remember last week what we argued about, you know. And so,
see, the Bible says love takes no account of the evil done to it. In other words, it doesn't keep records of wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and now I'm not that way anymore.
Now,
maybe I could remember Dave and I having a couple of arguments in the last year, but I really couldn't tell you what they were about.
Yes.
No, because I do forgive and let go of things really fast. Yeah. And that's so important in a marriage, because if you don't let go of it, the longer you hang on to it,
sure,
the bigger it's going to seem to you.
Yeah.
And it's just, all I can say is do everything you can to make the one you've got work. And like I said, there's times when it won't.
Yeah.
And I realize there are serious situations. You don't want to let somebody abuse you. You know. There's definitely reasons why it won't work. But I'm talking mainly about the people that just, they let petty things become major things. Mm-hmm. Or somebody does do something wrong in a relationship, And the person just, you just won't forgive them.
Yeah.
I just won't forgive you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to forgive
huge.
You. You know, I mean, you've been through that. You've had things you've had to forgive. And
hard things to forgive.
There are very hard things to forgive and things you could have easily said, you know, I'm getting a divorce and felt justified in doing it.
Yeah.
But you made a decision that you wanted to do it God's way.
Yeah. He's not easy to live with either. Yeah. I'll just throw that out there because I said that.
Well, let me just say, Dave's not as perfect as everybody thinks he is.
But I'm so glad.
Come on.
I'm so glad that we did make the decisions that we made, that we worked through things. Yeah. And they were things that God helped us and we could work through. And not everybody is in that situation. I understand
that. Well, Jay's husband wouldn't work through
it.
No, actually, that's one of the things that I'm the most grateful for.
You can't do it by yourself.
In the moment, like, I felt like stupid. Because I wanted to have that moment, like, once you find out about, you know, like, your husband cheating on you or something like that, you just want to have your moment. Like the movies, too. The other movies of the women that bust the windows out the car. I'm sorry. I had a moment. But you want to have that moment of feeling like you've been vindicated. And I wanted to serve him with papers, but God would not allow me to.
No.
He told me to sit still. And I constantly said, I'm married until I'm not, you know?
Yeah.
And I was praying over our marriage. I was asking him, I can't force someone. He served me with papers. And I said, if you did that, then, I mean, I only had 30 days to respond. So I had to sign it back, even though I felt so little doing that. But honestly, on the other side of divorce, I still feel a peace about the fact that I tried. I did everything in my possible. Yeah. Like,
and that's good that you have that you know that you did the best that you could.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that there are people watching today and you're contemplating marriage. You're thinking about getting married. And I just want to tell you that after you get married, you're going to find out things that you don't know right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For example, when Dave and I got married, I did not know he played golf.
And it's not that golf is a weird, terrible thing, but he played a lot, right?
A lot. Yes.
Okay.
Oh. Well,
Oh, Dave.
A lot. You're outnumbered here.
Once a week.
Not
a lot.
Only was it that, he liked football, baseball, basketball. Yeah.
Every
he even started liking sports he didn't even play, tennis and hockey.
I still
and,
do.
You know, I said he liked anything that bounced or rolled. He liked it.
Oh.
You are going to find out things that you don't know now, and you need to just set your head for that.
Yeah.
You know, when you marry somebody, they come as is. Maybe you haven't seen the little tag on there, but there's an as is tag
there.
On there. That means that, you know, there are going to be some flaws. No, nobody is perfect and without fault. But we normally, we magnify everybody else's and we look at ourselves through what I call rose-colored glasses. You know,
that's true.
Always make an excuse for us, but for you, there is no excuse.
And Aaron, you and Mike had a big event not too long ago where you guys made the decision. Tell us a little bit about what you guys did.
So we have been through a really difficult year this past year, and it was the kind where I was listening to you a lot talk about don't focus on the bad and look for the good and stay and make it work. And I can't tell you how helpful that was. So we have just been working on a lot this year and talking through. We're going to stick this out. We know God put us together. So I needed to renew my vows with him because it wasn't so much about a big thing I needed to do. My heart needed to recommit to him that I'm going to stick this out. And you are not perfect. I know more about you now than I knew when I said yes. I don't love everything that you do, but I love you and I choose you. So we renewed our vows a couple weeks ago, and just with my parents and my sister and her husband. And there is something so special about it because it wasn't about the stuff. It wasn't about the ceremony. It wasn't about the dress. It was, I have committed my life to you and I'm going to stay married to you and vice versa.
Yeah.
So it kind of changed, but reestablished what marriage means to us.
I think that what you're saying is very important because I do remember a time where I just was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
Yes.
I just don't know if I can do this anymore. And not that whatever he was doing was all that terrible, but I had made it out to be. And I remember making a decision that I was committed to this, mm-hmm. and I was not, I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that you have to come to that place. Otherwise, you're always going to be going back and forth,
yeah.
and there's always going to be a reason why now you may yes. leave or you're not going to make it work.
Yeah.
But that commitment that you mm-hmm. made, you're basically saying, I'm going to stick it out no matter what.
Yep.
Where when people get married, they may say that, but they don't really know what's coming.
Right. Exactly. In the vows that we wrote to each other, we wrote each other letters, we both said, this is what we promised 11 years ago. We had no idea what that would mean
right.
in actuality.
No, right.
We just were two kids who thought the world was going to be perfect like that Hallmark
right.
movie and everything yeah. was going to be rosy. But exactly what you just said, a couple months ago, the Holy Spirit spoke so strongly to me and said, you have to make a decision. You cannot keep saying this or that. You have to decide you're gonna stick this out
right.
and then make your yes be yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
oh, when you do that, you open a door for God to start moving in mm-hmm. your life. Otherwise,
right.
you're basically handling it by yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you make a new commitment, then you're saying, God,
mm-hmm.
I need you. To,
yeah.
to show me what to do and how to do it.
Yeah.
And
you
do that,
you have to accept people with their flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
really,
have to. Because they're just not, I mean, there's certain things that I'm always going to do. And if yeah. Dave wants to stay married to me, he'll just have to put up with it because I'll always do it. And there's certain things.
Check.
But there's certain things that you do too that,
yeah.
you know, could.
I know.
Yeah, you do stuff too. That could, you know, irritate me
mm-hmm.
that
sure
it's just like that's Dave, it's not going to change.
Yeah,
actually
I love him, I'm staying married to him.
Actually yeah. I married her for the fire, you know. That's one of the things I married her for. I like that fire.
Well, it won't go out.
I know that. Well, if it does I stoke the embers.
Yeah.
Anyway, she would when we had heated discussions a long time ago, I'd say, and the way to throw water on her heated discussion was to say, there's that old fire. I love it. Come on. I love that old fire.
Make a joke out of it. I'd be spitfire mad, and here he's making a joke out of it.
There it is.
Oh, yeah. I have a quick question. So I'm re-engaging in the dating scene, okay?
You what?
Re-engaging, or like allowing myself, opening my heart
yeah.
To
date.
To potentially, yeah. yes, yeah. even mm-hmm. though I was like, yeah. But I'm trying.
Yeah.
What was a date like with Dave and Joyce, like in the beginning when he was courting
date?
You? How did you court her?
How did I court her?
You only had a few, right?
There wasn't much chance.
We actually had five dates.
Okay, well then now give me date number three or something.
I went to her house a lot of times, you know, but and spent time with her there. But we actually only had like five official dates. I took her to a basketball game, to a movie, to out the bowl.
And, we played poker with his brother one night.
Oh, I love that so much. I love it.
Will you tell us how you met? I do
yes,
love that story.
I will. This guy I work with in engineering field, he needed a ride home one night. And so I said, sure, I'll give you a ride home. And so when I was pulling up in front of what I didn't know was her parents' home, she was outside washing her car in short shorts. And I said, wow, she's cute. And so I backed
wow.
down, you had to roll the window down like this. And I, so I rolled
taking
down the window.
Right now.
I rolled short down the window shorts. And I said, hey, after you're done washing that car, you want to wash mine? And she looked at me. She stared at me. She says, buddy, if you want your car washed, wash it yourself. And what went off of me like a stick of dynamite was, that's the girl for me.
And I just see it like a cartoon. Yeah, it's like your eyes go,
he either had to be a total lunatic or he was being led by the Holy Spirit.
I actually had prayed. You know, I was dating three girls at the time because I knew it was time to get married. I was 26 years.
He just didn't believe in prayer. He believed in prayer with
yes,
one.
I was 26.
Make sure you really hear from God.
26 years old, had spent 3 years in the service, and I come back, and it was time to get married. And so I prayed, and I said, God, I want to get married, and I need to show me who to marry. And I said, give me somebody that needs help.
Well,
I didn't know at the time when I made that statement to her and she came back and hit real sharply.
Coming.
I said,
boy, did you
I didn't know at the time that she had all these problems. But I thought, Any normal guy would have ran from this real quick. But it actually just drew me. And so the next day she needed a ride home because her car went to shop. And so the guy that he needed a ride home again. He said, can you pick Joyce up? And I said, yeah. I said, but you're sitting in the back seat. So she sat in the front seat. And I said, so you won't wash my car, huh? And she smiled. And as soon as she did that, it just broke the ice.
Aww.
By the time I got home, I got her home. I had her phone number and called her a day later, and it was history after that. And we had 5 dates.
I think people sometimes get this idea of marriage that there shouldn't be any bumps. There shouldn't be, especially a godly marriage, you know. Mm-hmm. We're just going to know through what God's word says how to do this, and it's all going to be perfect. And it doesn't work that way. Yeah. I've got a whole list of scriptures here about marriage. And honestly, so much of it is what you're talking about. It's the Holy Spirit guiding us.
Exactly.
Because it's a walk. It's not here's the answer right here in Ephesians. I mean, yes, it's there. It talks about marriage all through it. But it's so much of God's Spirit helping us and just going through it.
Yeah. And you know, the bottom line is Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He did not say, if you obey me, I will love you. Mm-hmm. He's already committed to loving us. But he said, if you love me, you will obey me. And I do think that people that have committed their life to Christ, that you need to be willing to do things for the Lord that you might not be willing to do for a person.
Yeah.
And if you will do things because you love God, do them right because you love God, he will make things work out in your life.
Yeah, when I was younger, you know, when we got married, and you know, when I was younger, I had a strong relationship with the Lord, but then when we got married, you know, I had prayed for somebody that needs help. And so when she began to open up, you know, all the things that she had gone through, which I knew nothing about, when she started opening up on that, then, you know, it did not shock me because I had prayed previously that I wanted to help, you know, I wanted somebody that needed help. And so that didn't really shock me. And probably something like that, if you weren't prepared ahead of time, you know, it might have...
Yeah,
really got you in a situation like, whoa, what did I marry here? You know, but as far as her dumping her life on me, that didn't affect me at all.
Joyce, any advice for women in a marriage, going into a marriage, dating, whatever it may be, who have been through abusive situations? What's some advice to help them to begin or make it through a relationship when you've got real hurt?
Well, one of the things that we tend to do is when you've been hurt, abused, mistreated, you feel like you're owed something. Mm-hmm. And in a way you are, but you end up trying to collect from the wrong person. Mm-hmm. And so my advice is don't marry somebody and then blame them for what somebody else did to you and try to get them to pay you back.
Yeah.
Only God can pay you back.
Yeah.
That's what he taught me. Mm-hmm. Only God, he's our vindicator. Mm-hmm. I will repay, the Lord says. And so if we will do things God's way, he will repay you. I mean, my gosh, we've got such a wonderful life now, and God's allowed us to be in this ministry, and we're getting to help so many people. And who would have ever thought in their wildest imagination the first 3 years of our marriage that we would be doing something like this?
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been just like so far from impossible that it wouldn't have been amazing. But honestly, if people will do things God's way because of their love for God, no matter how hard it is, God will pay you back. He will reward you. The Bible says in Isaiah 61 that God will give you double blessing for your former trouble. And it even says he'll give you honor for the shame that you had. And so God is faithful to his word. And I just want to say again, I'm repeating myself, but be willing to do things God's way, no matter how hard it might be, and you'll be amazed at what God will do in your life.
Yeah. Thank you both so much. Right, and you guys too. Thank you. Really, thank you for sharing. I just think it's so important and so helpful for people who are with us here. And we also have a free Bible study that you can do online that is called Keys to a Stronger Marriage, and I think you're going to love it. You can go to joycemeyer.org and find out more about that. It's free. It's there to help you. It will tell you more about what God's Word says and help you plug into that power of the Holy Spirit that we've been talking about all along. And also go to joycemeyer.org/talkitout to sign up for our friends list. It's a great way to be reminded of what episodes are coming out and when and all the fun stuff. Get some behind the scenes thing. Thank you all very much again for being with us.
Thank you.
We love you for having us. Thank you. Thank you, Dave, for being our first male guest.
It wasn't that bad, right? It wasn't that bad.
First male guest. We were good gals.
I was surprised I got words in.
You did. You got lots of words in. Yeah, I did. He sat down and he goes, I don't know, it's a little girly.
Yeah, he's like, it's prissy in here.
I told him that's all he's getting today. He said all he gets to say.
And we're going to close out today with a special little story as told by Joyce and Dave that we know you're going to love.
We open a new safety deposit box and we want to put a couple of our kids on it. And so Dave and my one son-in-law was on it, and so my son-in-law says to me, well, I have one key and Dad's got the other key, and so you're going to have to find his key. So when you take it to get the other two kids on there, and I didn't have my name on there yet, that, you know, you'll be able to get into it and do whatever you need to do. So I went to Dave and said, where's the key to the safety deposit box? I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? You got the other key. He says, I don't know. I said, well, Steve said he gave it to you. You got one when you went to the bank. Where's it at? I don't know. So for 3 days, I'm like, find the key. Look for the key. Where's the key? Find the key. So he finally starts searching everything. Could not find the key anywhere, anyway. Okay, so for 2 days, I'm thinking, well, I bet if it would have been in the key to your golf bag, you'd know where it was. Yep. Now, I know you don't think like that, but or I would find myself thinking, I'd find myself thinking, be nice if you just be a little bit more responsible when it comes to this kind of stuff. And then I'd think, no, Joyce shouldn't think that. No. And oh, then I'd want to say something. So how many of you know when you just like, you just want to say it so bad, but you know if you do, you're going to start something. I'm just like, peace. Okay, so we couldn't find the key. So I told my son-in-law, okay, find out, you know, if we can get other keys. They said, oh no, we only give out two keys. If you want a new key, you got to drill the lock out of the box. It's going to cost you $200 to get a new lock and get new keys. So I go back to him, it is going to cost $200. For us to drill this out. And I said, you know, this happened once before. The last time we had a safety deposit box, you also lost the key, and we had to drill the lock out, and we could not find it. You should have kept up with that key. So I'm going upstairs one morning, and I thought, I wonder if I have that key.
Listen. I sat there as long as I could sit. This is my story. She's got this mentality that I am right. I am always right.
Oh, and you don't have that mentality?
I'm talking now.
Pray for me right now. Pray for me.
Anyway, she's all this time she's told me I've got the key.
So I'm looking everywhere. I'm looking everywhere for the key. And I looked for it for 4 days, on and off. On the fourth day, I'm sitting at the breakfast table with her, and she says, did you find that key? Have you looked for the key yet? In different places. And I said, I haven't looked at the office yet. I'm going to look at the office, in my desk at the office. And she says, you sure it's not somewhere else? I said, no, I've looked everywhere else. And so she got up from the breakfast table, and as she was leaving the table, this thought came to me, what if she's got the key? Now that is the Holy Ghost. I knew it immediately. That's the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah, you got a word of knowledge, right?
And as she was going upstairs to her office, the same thought came to her. You know, I better check in my closet just to see. And she goes in her closet. Well, I had called my son-in-law and asked him what the key looked like so I could identify it, you know, when I look for it. And she comes out of her closet holding this key, dangling it. And of course, I recognize it right away. And she says, is this the key? I said, and one of our helpers, our armor bearers is in the kitchen. And immediately I said, praise the Lord. And she had egg all over her face. Now.
And he has not let me forget it.
I said.
You maintain peace by having a humble attitude.
I said. Hey. You haven't been maintaining peace up for a long time. Anyway, not only does she find that key, but then she goes back and finds the other key from years before. So she
I had both of them.
She did not only have egg on her face, she was buried in egg. And I was so thankful. And I said, Lord, thank you. That'll take care of me for a couple years.
Oh, shut up.